بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When a person wants to make taqleed, then not only is he looking for a mujtahid, but he's looking for a'lam, one who is the most known, most knowledgeable amongst the mujtahideen. And we discussed last week how to identify an a'lam. If after doing his research he is not able to find anyone who is a'lam, then he sees that there are a group of mujtahid who are regarded as maraji, and he doesn't know which one of them is a'lam. Then in that case, he needs to do ihtiyat amongst their fatawa, meaning in their rulings that they have, he needs to do ihtiyat and follow the strictest one of them. If he's unable to do that, then he can, out of the group of mujtahid that are regarded at the same level, he can choose the one that he supposes to be the most knowledgeable. If that is also, if he's unable to do that, and if he sees that a group of mujtahid are all at the same level or regarded at the same level, then in that case, he can choose anyone amongst them to do taqleed of, and his taqleed will be valid. Now, if he makes taqleed, how would he know what the mujtahid says? Obviously, you know, the book which we have right now of the rulings of, let's say, you know, Ayatollah Sistani here that I have in my hand, or any other mujtahid for that matter. If you know that this book is from him, then obviously you can use the rulings that are in there and practice your deen according to that. Or you can hear from the mujtahid himself, if you are able to go in front of him. And many people, they do go for ziyarat. And that is an opportunity that when you meet the mujtahid, then you can ask him the questions that are necessary or that you need to know about. This was the habit of the people in the time of the imams also, that they used to write out the list of questions that they had, and they would send that list with someone who's going for ziyarat, you know, and when they used to meet the imams, then they used to ask them the questions, write down the answers, and bring them back, and the people will act according to what was brought back to them. So this is also another way of doing this. And this only happens when the person who's bringing back the news is a person that you are satisfied that he's not going to lie or he's not going to deceive you, and that he is a person that you can trust. Now, if a mujtahid who is followed by a person dies, he will be the same as he was alive. In the sense that if you are in the taqleed of someone and he dies, then it's as if he's alive and you can continue in his taqleed. But if a mujtahid is dead, you cannot begin the taqleed of a dead mujtahid. You cannot start the taqleed. But if you were already on the taqleed of a mujtahid, then you should remain, or you are able to remain on the taqleed of that, especially if the dead mujtahid to you is more a'lam than the one who is living. In that case, it is necessary for you to stay on the taqleed of the old mujtahid or the dead mujtahid. But if he has reverted to a new mujtahid, if he has, if you as a follower has made taqleed to a new mujtahid, and later on you see that you liked a fatwa of the old mujtahid, you cannot revert back. You can't go back now because you have already switched. Once you switch, there's no going back. But if you haven't switched, then you can stay on the taqleed of the old mujtahid. Now, it is obligatory for a follower to learn the issues which are of daily importance. This is very important for us. No one in Islam has an excuse of not knowing the rule. Allah does not accept that as an excuse. You see, for example, if a person drinks alcohol not knowing that it was alcohol, this is forgiven. If you drink alcohol, for example, and you didn't know that this was alcohol, then this is forgiven by Allah. But if you know the rule that alcohol is haram and you drank it, or for example, you didn't know the rule that this was haram, but you knew that this is alcohol and you drank it, this is a sin. This excuse is not accepted. You see, the ignorance of the hukum or the rule is not accepted in Islam. The ignorance of the mawdu and the subject is accepted. Meaning, if in the subject you are ignorant, you didn't know that this was haram or this is this, and you took it or you drank it or you did something, this is accepted by Allah that, okay, you did not know that this was alcohol. But if you did not know the ruling that alcohol is haram and you say that, well, I didn't know the ruling and that's why I did it, this is not accepted in Islam. So this is the reason why it is said here and right at the beginning of the book of all mujtahid that it is wajib on every mukallaf to learn the rulings and the rules that are important in one's daily life. And if someone does not learn them, then this is a sin. This ignorance is a sin and it will lead to many more sins. And inshallah, we should try to learn the rulings that are necessary for us to live our life, especially for those who are doing business. In the book of Hijarat, right, it has been clearly mentioned that if someone wants to get into a business or wants to do business, he needs to learn the rulings and ahkam of business before he gets into it, otherwise it will not be allowed. It will not be allowed unless he learns the rulings of halal and haram in business before he gets into a business. Now, if he gets into a business and he makes mistakes, now he cannot make an excuse, oh, I didn't know. And that's why it is said that you should learn the rulings of haram and halal in accordance to what is haram and halal in business and the etiquette of doing business and dealings before you enter into a business so that you know that what you're going to do is halal and accepted by Allah. Let us make dua that we, inshallah, learn these rules and Allah gives us the tawfiq to do what is right for us and inshallah act according to His commands. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد. The purpose of the dates of the Shahadat of Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra Salamullah alayha being hidden or unknown was initially due to the fact that the Shahadat occurred in circumstances that was grievous, to say the least. And hence the objective was to hide the date or the day of the Shahadat of Bibi Fatima. And therefore, we have different riwayat regarding what is the actual day of her shahadat. And even though the purpose of the enemy was to blot out the remembrance of Fatima, but the Shias have done something amazing with it. If you see all the other imams, their shahadat and their viladat is known. And hence there's a day of shahadat for every imam, for every masoom. But when it comes to Hazrat Fatima, there are different dates that occur. So what the Shia, what her Shias have done is that they have taken these dates and they said, okay, this is first date, this is the second date, this is the third date. If all these were meant for us to not remember her, but what we are going to do is that we are going to take this date and that date, put them together and call it Ayyam-e Fatimi and remember her all of these days. This is called Ayyam-e Fatimiya. And hence what we are doing is that we are saying that if there was doubt, now we are going to attain certainty by making all the angles of the doubt a surety. You see, when there's a doubt, there are two sides to it. Any doubt that you have, there are two sides to it. So if you want to make it certain, do both the things. And then it becomes a certainty. And hence, this is what Ayyam-e Fatimiya was meant to be. Become a certainty that we are doing her shahadat on the day of her shahadat by recognizing all the dates that have come down to us. And this is something that is maybe the wisdom why Ahlul Bayt have hidden it from us, so that her mourning should be the longest mourning of all the imams. Imam Hussein in Ashura is exceptional. That whole tragedy is exceptional. But when it comes to the shahadat of this baby, you see that no imam is mourned this much as she is done in Ayyam-e Fatima. This is the wisdom that was behind it, that we do not stop, that we make certain that she is mourned and that she is recognized and her shahadat is recognized. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When we look at the events and circumstances of the mazlumiyat and the oppression and the masaib and the shahadat of this Bibi and the events that led up to it, then what we see is the keys, lessons. It is a collection of lessons which become the key or keys to making our lives as an individual, as a society, a Muslim society, and not just Muslim society, as a human society. It gives us those keys, it gives us those principles by which we can make a successful life and a successful society. Really, when we look at this ayam that we have of Fatimiya, truly what this is that nowadays that we are living in is the opportune time to make the example of Fatima known to the world. Really, this is the time. A lot of times you see wisdom and aql at its height. What it does is that it shows us the ideal time to do the best thing. What's the job of the aql? You know, the job of the aql is not to recognize wrong or evil, not to recognize right. That's not the job of aql. Aql cannot do that. You know, aql can't recognize what is right or what is wrong. That's the job of revelation. Allah sent wahi for us to recognize what's right and wrong. If you use your akal and say, well, this is good and this is evil. Good and evil cannot be recognized by the akal. Good and evil have to be told by the revelation, by wahi. The akal, what it does is that it can recognize between two goods what is the best, and between two bads what is worse, and between good and bad what is good and what is bad. But it cannot recognize for good for what it is or bad for what it is. That's the job of revelation. Allah sent wahi for that. Our job is to see that, is this halal? If it's halal, it means it's good. If it's wajib, it means it's good. If it's haram, it means it's bad. That's how we know what is good and what is evil. So the akal, its job is to recognize between good and better. Its job is to recognize between bad and worst. And its job is also to recognize when this good should be done. What I'm mentioning here, I'm trying to build this premise here. And so I want you to solely understand this. You see, the job of the akal is to do what? To recognize what is the best time to do a certain good thing. Because not all good is done at all the times. Not everything is done at all the times. There is a special time, there's an opportune time to do something, to say something, to act on something. And if we do not recognize that, then we can make mistakes in doing things. For a mu'min, in trying to understand the depths of Islamic teachings, it is necessary for him to understand what is the right time to do a certain thing. If he doesn't know that, then it is easy for such a person to fall to misguidance. In order for us to understand depths, for a mu'min, it's very hard. You see, the hardest thing is to know what is the right thing to say at the right time. What is the right thing to say at the right time? What is the right thing to do at the right time? This requires akal to be very deep and analytical. For example, in our days, this is known as, for example, individuals who can do that are known as strategists. You know, those who can build strategies to know what is the right thing to do at the right time. This is what it's called. And hence, akal also needs to know that. If you do not know that, then we can fall prey to misguidance. We as a people need to know that. What is the right thing to do at the right time? To build priorities. Is this more important or is this more important? To prioritize things, this is the job of the akal. And if we do not do that, then you see, this is how we are led to misguidance. Let me give an example so you understand this better if you send me a salawat. One of the ways for shaitan to misguide people, or one of the ways that he uses, is not that he doesn't make you do haram. Do haram. It doesn't work. Or he doesn't make you do evil. If he wants to misguide a mu'min or those who are supposedly mu'min or those who are good people mu'min, but they're not as sharp up there. So what happens is that he doesn't come to you and say, do haram, because it will easily be rejected. He doesn't ask you to do evil because it will easily be rejected. What does he do? What shaitan does is that he confuses us in our priorities. What's more important, what's less important, he confuses us in those priorities. And so what happens is that once we are confused in the priorities, then we make mistakes in making a decision. We won't know what is the right thing to do at the right time. So when he wanted to misguide the army of Imam Ali, those people who were under the flag of Imam Ali and fighting with Imam Ali on his side, how did he misguide them? He didn't come and make them do haram or say that you should do evil. How did he misguide them? He just confused them in their priorities. The only question or issue that he raised amongst them, or he told them, is that the Quran is more important than Ali. That's all he did. That's all he did. He said, you see the Quran? That's more important than what Ali is saying. That's it. And then what happened? Just because of that change in priorities at that time, not knowing what is important, they all went to hell. Just that one thing. He didn't say bad. He didn't say evil. He says, what? They raised the Quran. That's it. We can't follow Ali now. Just that one issue of changing priorities at that time made them go to hell. All those people, they turned against Imam, they turned against Ali, just because of that one change of priority. That's it. He put that in their minds. And so when we do not have right priorities that the aql should be leading to, then what happens is that we make those mistakes. Many times you see the same decisions a lot of people make, good people, mu'min people. They make these type of mistakes. You know, like someone is coming to the masjid to pray. Right? And he sees that someone is in need. Someone is hungry, in need, or something like that. He sees that. And the person asked him for help also. But he says, listen, I have to pray. You do what you can. And he goes away. Now tell me, is this prayer that Allah is asking for? When someone is in need, that you leave him on the side and you come there and saying that, listen, he needed you more than me. You see, what happened when, at that time, what is it? It's not an issue what is more wajib, what is more, no. Yes, prayer is wajib, this and that, but at that point, what was more important? At that moment, what was more important for you to do? You see, that's what a mu'min's aql needs to recognize. If he doesn't recognize that, if he doesn't train himself to be at that level, then it will very, very easy for him to be misguided. It will be very easy for him to be misguided. And hence, when we look at this, the role, the model, the example of Fatima, then we recognize, those who know better recognize, that this today, the 21st century, is the ideal time for the model and the example of Fatima to be known by the world. You know, different levels of ma'rifat that we have of her. You know, how her example is needed today, right, by four groups of people need her example today in the world. One is all of mankind itself. All of mankind needs her example. Two, the Muslim world, the Muslim ummah needs her example today. Three, the Shias need her example. And four, me as an individual needs her example. Four levels of how she is needed today. And I just want in these 3 days to go through that. To see how is she needed by mankind? How is she needed by the Muslim world? How is she needed by the Shias? And how is she needed by us as the individual? This is something that we need to understand regarding her, because her example is unlike any other example that we have from the Imams. You see, even Imam Ali in places has noted to his people, to his Shias, that I haven't been able to implement some of the things of religion in my time. Even though he is the ruler, but he wasn't able to implement some of the things of his time. Not because he couldn't, because the people were not at that level to understand it. They weren't able to comprehend it. They weren't able to bear the burden. That's why he couldn't implement all the things in that. But Fatima was different. She wasn't the ruler. And hence, she did not have those chains to bind her from implementing that and to practice that and to let others know what Islam is as freely as Imam Ali was. That's why when you see that Mawla, there was a time when he could not come out of his house because he knew that he would be taken advantage of. That's why he locked himself in the house. When he locked himself in the house, not because he couldn't come out, because he knew that if he came out, then it would be used against Islam. So he stayed in the house. That's why Fatima at that time came out instead of Ali. She was able to. She didn't have those chains that were binding her. She came out. Now, with that in mind, then we understand many things. You know, I mean, you see, again, when it comes to akl, Fatima was akle kul. Her intellect, her intelligence was complete. It was whole. There's no gap in her intelligence. In no way at all. When we see the example, you know, I mean, how it happened there and what, you see, how she was freer than Imam Ali to do what she wanted to do. You know, if you remember this incident when the ayat of Ghadir came down, and a person by the name of Haris ibn Nu'man, he did not like it. He didn't like it. So he came out and, you know, he told the Prophet, listen, if this is from you, right? If this is from you, I don't want to accept it. Meaning that you're making Ali the Khalifa. If this is from you, I don't want to accept it. And if this is from Allah, let Allah send an azab on me. Meaning that I don't like it so much, I'd rather have the azab of Allah than to accept Ali as the Khalifa. Imagine the hatred. You know, you would rather have the azab of Allah. I mean, so much hatred. Imagine that was hatred. That was a lot of hatred in that person. A lot of hatred in that person. How much hatred that he was willing to take the azab of Allah. He was willing to take the azab of Allah, but he will not accept Ali. I mean, really, and if there's any example of more clear and vivid hatred than this, show me. But you see, this was complete hatred. And when, obviously, he asked for the azab, and Allah, you know, he accorded him that. He said, all right, you know, you asked for it, so, you know, he gave it to him. And, you know, the rock came, and it destroyed him. It killed him, it finished him, and he was sent to hell. Good, he went to hell. But imagine that hatred that he had, right? That complete hatred that he had, that he's willing to take the azab of Allah. Understand that example of that person. Then, just in that case, when Ali came home, Fatima told Ali that, Ali, don't think that he is the only one who hates you that much. There are many others who hate you that much. It's just that they don't have the guts to come forward yet. What is Fatima saying? He's saying that that person who's willing to take the azab of Allah, he's saying he's not the only one. There are many others who are willing to take the azab of Allah, but not accept you. And they did. They did take the azab of Allah. Just like she has said, they have done that. You see, she understood. She had that complete understanding of what people are. Who were these people who took over the Khilafah and did that? What did they do at the end? They took the azab of Allah, but they didn't want to accept the Khilafat of Ali. That's what they did at the end. Right? It was the same example of Haris ibn Nu'man that Fatima is saying, this is their example. It's just that they didn't have the guts to come forward to Rasulullah and say it. That person did. You see, this was Fatima. Right? This was Fatima. Now, from here, how is Fatima, just today, one thing I'll mention, how is our example needed in the Muslim world, in this ummah? I'll talk about, you know, the Shias later and the mankind later and ourselves later. Just today, just this example of how is her example needed in this? Why is she needed in this ummah? What is her role in the ummah? What is she doing in this ummah? You see, let me explain that if you send me a salawat. You know, in this ummah, if you see this, Allah, He made Fatima unique amongst the masumeen. If you see this, right? When you look at the Prophet, when you look at the Imams, you see, the Muslims, those who took over, really, they did not have a problem with the Prophet. Meaning the Kuffar, they never had a problem with the Prophet. Meaning the personality of the Prophet and the person of the Prophet. They never had a problem. They all said he is honest, he is trustworthy. The Kuffar said he is Amin, he is Sadiq. Alhamdulillah, he's good. Right? They never had a problem with Ali also. They said he's brave, he's courageous, he's good. No one had a problem with Ali. The problem they had was not with Muhammad, they had a problem with Risalat, with prophethood. Muhammad, we like you. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, you are from us, our people, this and that, and we like you, you're a good person, but we don't agree about this prophethood. They had a problem with prophethood. When it came to Imam Ali, they didn't have a problem with Ali, they had a problem that he is the Khalifa and the Imam. You see, they had a problem with that. Until then, they were like, listen, if he doesn't become Khalifa and Imam, okay, good, he's amongst us, fine. But the time that he was appointed as the Khalifa and the Imam, that's when they turned against him. They said, no, now we can't accept him. They had a problem with his imamat, his chair. Now you see, all of them, the Ahlul Bayt, if you look at their character, it's one and the same. In character, Fatima is no way less than the Prophet or the Imam when you look at her. Her light is the same, her ismat is the same, her knowledge is the same, everything is the same with Imam Ali. Now in all of that, the only thing that was different is that Ali was an Imam and she wasn't. She wasn't an imam. Ali was the imam. And because Allah made Ali the imam, everyone turned against Ali. Because Allah made Muhammad the prophet, everyone turned against Muhammad. So in all of this, you see that it was the office that they were designated to that brought about the animosity on them. So there is a grudge that people have against the imamat of Ali. When you ask any Muslim about Ali, what does he say? You know, he's good, he's brave, he fought so much people, he was courageous, he was mu'min, he's everything, right? Alhamdulillah. He was knowledgeable and everything. They all accept that. But if you say, well, he was the imam. And right away, you see, their whole expression changes and everything that you had in common is finished. At that point, everything is finished. So what's the problem here? Do they have a problem with Ali? No, they have a problem with his imamat. They have a problem with his seat. So now what happened is that Allah needed to appoint a prophet, so he did. Allah needed to appoint an imam, so he did. And these were the characters that can glue people together. You see, an ummah has to be glued together by a character. By someone who is so good that they can all come under their umbrella. That they can all hold on to and say that, yes, this is good, this is pure, and we can hold on to it. But because of the seat of imamat, people were against Ali. Because of the seed of prophethood, people were against Muhammad. So now what happened? Allah made Fatima, who was no less than Ali and Muhammad. who is equal in their light, in their ismat, in their knowledge, in every way, she is qualified to be an imam. But Allah did not make her an imam. Why? Because He knew that if He made her an imam also, then just like they turned against Ali, they will turn against Fatima. So Allah made Fatima have the character that can bring the ummah together, but did not give her a post that will repel the people away from her. In other words, Allah made Fatima as the nucleus of the wahdat of the Muslimin. She is the wahdat. If you bring Fatima out to the ummah, who can argue that she's not from the Ahlul Bayt? Who can say that she's not the daughter? Who can say that she wasn't good? Who can say that she wasn't pure? Everyone attests to that. And hence, it is the love of Fatima that can bring the ummah together. If we can bring Fatima out to the people and let them know, you will see that they will come closer to Ahlul Bayt. She is what brings people closer to Ahlul Bayt. When you look at her example, she is that thing that can hold us together as an ummah. If we give that example out to the people and let the people know, today the worst thing that's happening, my friends, is that Fatima's history is being erased from history books. That's the worst thing that's happening for this ummah. I remember a time when I went to the University of Houston, Texas in Austin, to give a speech there. And Muslims were there, all Muslims. There were about, 150 of them, youngsters in college. There were Muslims and some who were non-Muslims, most of them Muslims. And, I was explaining about, it was Imam Hussein Day. I was explaining about Imam Hussein and this and that. And then I realized that I'm speaking to blank faces. They're looking at me like, what's he talking about? And I said, wait a minute, let me stop over here and ask some questions just to get a feedback from these people. So I asked them, do you all know who Hussein is? And you know what? They all had blank faces. They had no clue. Who is he? Wow. I said, okay, do you know who Fatima is? And you know what? No one knew. Not a single person knew who was Fatima in that hall. A single person. Right. I said, okay, you know what? One last question to see if they're Muslims, right? Do you know who the Prophet is? Then they all raised their hands. So they knew who the Prophet is, but they did not know about his daughter. You see, it's being erased. That history is being erased. Why? Because the example of Fatima in their books brings those people closer to Ahlul Bayt, closer to us. And if you take her out, then the emotion that a person has of honoring the daughter of the Prophet is finished, and hence that closeness is no more. My friends, Fatima is what brings the Muslims together. Her example is what brings the Muslims there. Those places that Ahlul Bayt are known, like in India and Pakistan, those places you see that they honor Ahlul Bayt, they honor Fatima. When they go for Hajj and Ziyarat, they go to the grave of Baqi and they visit the graves of the Imams. Those people who understand Ahlul Bayt, who have that love for her amongst our Sunni brothers. But you see those places where the name of Fatima is being taken away, you see, that emotion is being finished. This is what's happening, my friends, to Fatima. And she is that. So Muslim Ummah needs her. Why? Because that's what's going to hold us together. That's what's going to bring them closer to Ahlul Bayt. If we give the example of Fatima. That's why these Ayyam-e-Fatimiyah are so important. That we give the message of Fatima and her example to the world. This is Fatima. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Really, when we look at that, and when we look at her example, you see, whatever she did, right, was Islam put in practice in such a way that it became attractive. it became like a magnet. If someone can understand her aql, her intellect and her emotions, then you will appreciate what is intelligence. You see, it's one thing, you know, that, for example, an individual becomes emotional and that's it. And you know that when he becomes emotional, they lose their aql and they don't act according to their intellect. But when a person shows intelligence in their emotions, then you understand the depth of what they are trying to do and say. You know, Fatima was asked this question. Right? And first of all, it was a discussion in the masjid about what is the best thing for a woman to do. What is the best thing that a woman can do? It was asked, and it was being debated in the masjid and everything like that. So the Prophet said, well, let's ask Fatima. Let's ask Fatima that to see what she says. So she was asked the question, what is the best thing for a woman to do that she can do? And Fatima replied back, and I want you to understand it in the degrees of Islam, not in the sense of haram and halal, you know. Oh, you know, he's saying this is haram for her. No, it's not about haram and halal. She's speaking about what is the best thing for a woman to do. Imagine that. Now who you're asking? You're asking Fatima, right? This is the same Fatima that before the revelation comes, she used to teach Imam Hassan the revelation. The same Fatima. The same Fatima who had the knowledge of the book even before the book came down. Right? This is the same Fatima. Right? They asked her, what is the best thing for a woman to do? And Fatima replied back and said, the best thing a woman can do is to live a life where she is never seen by a non-mahram man. That's the best thing for a woman to do. To live a life that way she is not seen by any non-mahram man. That is what a woman, what the best thing a woman can do. Again, I don't want you to take into haram and halal, haram or halal. No, it's nothing about that. It's about degrees. It's about what is the best thing a person of iman can do. And she replied that. Now, my friend, understand this. You know, she replied that. And I want you to keep that her reply in mind. Knowing that what she's saying is not just out of, okay, it's a textbook answer, you know. A lot of times, you know, for example, you ask me something. Maybe I don't even implement it in my life and I give you a textbook answer. Okay, this is the answer. No, when she is saying it, you know that she means it and she's practicing it. And you know that she is a model and a description of what she's saying. You know that. Now, when you keep that in mind, my friends, keep that in mind. Now then realize. That Fatima who's saying that you should not be seen nor heard by a non-mahram man. That same Fatima is crying so loud for the death of her father that all the neighbors are complaining. Now imagine, what was this? Just think, what was this crying for? What was this? Was this an outburst of emotions? No, my friends, understand. She, the same Fatima who has hid herself from everyone all her life and her father dies and the Khilafat of Ali is taken away from him. She is crying so loudly that the people are complaining to Ali, Ali, take Fatima out of here because we cannot stand her crying. Friends, this is Fatima's way of protesting to the people that the imamah that Allah has given Ali has been taken away from her. This is Fatima defending imamah. This is Fatima defending Islam. Even if he has to sacrifice her honor by letting her voice be heard by others, but she wanted others to know that I am here to defend my imam. My friend, just imagine this. 11th Hijri. It's 11th Hijri. And You are walking towards Medina. You are going towards Medina, coming as a musafir, a traveler. And from far away, you can see the lights of Medina. You can see the minaret of the masjid. And you come closer to Medina. And before you enter Medina, on the outskirts, away from the town, you pass by a shack that is put together. A shack that is put together, and you wonder, what is this shack, this doing out here, that is put together in such a temporary way? Just walls and something put together so that those people, whoever is inside there, is just staying there. I mean, what kind of a person has built a shack like this outside? And you go near that shack and you hear the wailing of a woman who is saying, Subbat alayya masa'ibun law subbat alal ayyam. My friends, this is what the people used to witness when they used to come to Medina. They used to see the shack outside of Medina and the wailing of a woman who's crying and two children who are listening to her. And this lady would keep on saying the masaib of Rasulullah, and the children will weep their tears for the mourning of Rasulullah. And then if you see, this is Fatima and this is Baytul Huzn that Imam Ali had made for Fatima on the outskirts of Medina. Fatima is crying for her father. Fatima is crying to defend the Imamate that was taken away. Fatima is crying to defend Islam that has been hijacked. Fatima shedding her tears outside, and she cries, the grave of her grandfather is not too far away. It's only in Medina. How can that grave be still while her daughter cries in such a way? Rasulullah is shaking in his grave as to what is happening to Fatima. My friends, this is Fatima, and this is the mourning of Fatima. Only 2 months did she cry after her father before she passed away. Tomorrow is her shahadat. Tomorrow night will be the shahadat. So tonight, inshallah, let me give you the wasiyat of Fatima that she had made with Imam Ali. And now she and Ali spoke together the night before so that she can give her wasiyat to Ali. And she had told Ali that, Ali, after you put the children to bed, come to me. Imam Ali came to Fatima. Fatima is sick. Fatima is ill. She is suffering from those injuries that she has, and she is dying. Her life is slowly going away from her. And Fatima now tells Ali that, Ali, Abul Hassan, the first question she asked him, Araditani. Ya Abul Hassan, Araditani. She said, Ali, are you pleased with me as a wife? Are you pleased with me? I'm going to go away. I need to know this before I go. Are you pleased with me as a wife? Ali looked at the question, heard the question of Fatima, looked at her with tears and tears flowing from her eyes. From his eyes, he says, Wallahi ma asatli amran. Oh Fatima, how can I be upset? I swear by Allah, you never disobeyed me. Wallahi ma asad amran wa aghbatani wa ma aghbatani. Fatima, you have never made me upset in my life. How can I be upset with you, Fatima? What kind of a question is that? How can I be upset with you? No, as your imam, let me ask you, Fatima, let me ask you, araditani, are you pleased with me as a husband, as an imam? Oh Ali, the only Shia that you will ever ask that, you are asking Fatima, are you pleased with me as an imam? Fatima, yes, Abul Hassan, I am pleased with you as an imam.
But I have some wasiyat that I want to make to you, Ali. Please pay attention, Ali. I want to leave you with this wasiyat, Ali. And now Fatima starts her wasiyat. And she said, first, Ali, my first thing is that when you give me ghusl, give it to me at night, Ali. Do not give it in the day. Give me ghusl at night. Give my kafan, wrap my kafan at night, not in the day, Ali. Do not wrap it in the day, wrap it at night. And Ali, do not announce my death to the people. I don't want many of these people to come to my funeral. I don't want them to come to my funeral. And Ali, when you are going to take me, when you are going to take me at night so no one can know where I'm going and no one can know where I'm going to be buried. I don't want them to come to my grave also. Fatima, understand how Fatima, in what circumstances Fatima is leaving, and the heart rendering wasiyat she is giving Imam Ali, and the heart of Imam Ali that is shaking at the wasiyat of Fatima. And Fatima then says, Ali, when you give ghusl to me, put a cloth on me and then give me ghusl. Hide me from every one of these people. I do not want them to be near me. And then she turns to Ali and says, Ali, Ali, now you want to hear my next wasiyat. Ali, when you put me in the grave, when you put me in the grave, Ali, don't be in a rush to leave my grave. Ali, don't be in a rush to leave my grave, because a mayyat, a dead body, is in need of a companion. Ali, who is a better companion than you? Ali, do not leave me. And then Fatima goes on and gives the wasiyat. Can you listen to this and say and hear the, just feel the pain of Fatima and Ali as they are going through this wasiyat. He says, Iqra li al-Quran. Ali, read for me Quran when you are there with me. Wa ud'uni Ali, and Ali, make dua for me, Ali. Make dua for me. Wabkini wa ibki lil yatama. Oh Ali, cry for me and cry for my orphans who I'm leaving behind. Fatima is going away and she is leaving behind orphans of Hassan and Hussein. Can you imagine? Fatima is telling Ali, Ali, look after my orphans. And then she said, Ali, I'm giving you special wasiyat, Ali. I'm giving you special wasiyat, Ali. And that is, especially take care of my son Hussein. Take care of my son Hussein, because you know why? Hussein is very much attached to me. I don't know how he will live without me. Hussein is very close to me. Treat him well so he does not miss me. My father, my friends, Azadar, what can I say? When Fatima died and Hussein was left alone, you see how Hussein went through that, only Hussein knows. But all I know is this, when on Karbala, when Hussein fell on the ground, when Hussein fell on the ground, then he said, Mother, I'm coming to you, Mother. Say, Allah, the one who is 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 يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطمة يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الحسن بحق Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand your guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.